Cher and Cher Alike, starring Michael Robbins and Hugh Paddick. Featuring Dennis Bond, with guest appearance this week by Derek Guiler.
A learned man on his own. Seven letters. Solo man. Of course. Solomon. I've only got three clues to go now. Jack, how are you getting on?
I am not.
But you're only doing the children's version.
Yeah, well, I'm just not very good at this sort of thing, that's all. Yeah, wait a minute. Here's an easy one. An evening spent at home with a relative, two words. Yeah, that easy, that is.
Let me try.
No, I don't think you get it.
Of course I would. How many letters?
Five and six.
An evening spent at home with a relative.
You give up?
Yeah, all right. What's the answer?
Ruddy boring.
Oh, how childish.
Nevertheless, mate, it sums up my feelings about all the evenings you and I spend at home. Ruddy boring.
Well, you know as well as I do that under the terms of Mum's will, we have to spend at least four evenings a week together.
You don't have to remind me.
If you want to break the agreement, that's up to you. But personally, I'm prepared to stick it out until the 3 years are up and I can inherit my £25,000.
Yeah, all right, so am I. I'm just trying to make our prison sentences a bit easier, that's all. I mean, at the moment, the evenings we spend together in this place make meditation in a monastery feel like a rave-up.
Well, we have so little in common.
Yeah, I know, and I've been thinking about that and all. I reckon the answer is a bit more give and take.
Oh, yes, I can see what you've got in mind. I do all the giving, you do all the taking.
Now, look, don't start getting snide, mate. What I'm suggesting is that we both swallow our pride.
How do you mean?
Well, one evening you can choose something you want to do and I'll go along with it.
Without moaning?
Without moaning. And then I'll choose something that interests me and we'll go and do that together.
I am not accompanying you to some house of ill repute.
Oh, don't be so daft. Anyway, I wouldn't let you waste your money.
What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, these places aren't like a book club offer. You don't get your money back if you're not satisfied. And they certainly won't give you 14 days to decide whether you're interested or not.
Don't be silly.
Anyway, what do you say? Is it an idea?
Yes, I suppose so. As long as you don't cheat.
Of course I won't cheat. Now, all we've got to settle is what each of us would like to do and when we're going to do it.
Well, how are we going to decide whose choice we carry out first?
Well, we'll toss for it.
Ah, yes. If you don't mind, I'll supply the coin.
Oh, blimey, you really don't trust me, do you? Oh. Right, age before beauty. Off you go, Liz. What's yours going to be? Quick course in do-it-yourself embalming?
Say, Jack, that sounds like a good idea to me.
Yeah, well, at least it means we won't have to spend every evening staring at each other surrounded by the same four walls.
I suppose it might even bring the two of you a bit closer together.
Yeah, it might, but I doubt it. I reckon Les and I have got about as much in common as Ivan the Terrible and Mary Poppins.
You haven't told me yet what each of you have chosen to do.
All in good time, Ron. Just as soon as you produce some biscuits to go with this cuppa.
Oh, yeah. Coming up.
Ah. Here, I hope you didn't get custard creams again.
No, I bought something different this time. Look.
What on earth are those?
Nursery biscuits.
Nursery biscuits?
Yeah. Look, the pink ones have got little engines on them. The blue ones, cottages. And the yellow ones, donkeys.
It's true. Yeah, well, they certainly are different, aren't they?
And on the back of each one, there's a different letter of the alphabet. See? Clever, isn't it?
The mind boggles.
They're British, you know, made in England.
Yeah, well, no other country had the time to think of an idea like that. Too busy putting men on the moon.
My mum used to buy me these when I was a little boy.
You must have missed them the last couple of years, then.
Don't be silly. Oh, look, isn't that funny? The three biscuits you've taken spell Les.
You what?
See? L-E-S. Les.
Stroof, I can't get away from him.
Anyway, go on, what have you chosen to do?
Oh, it's not all that exciting. But for the first time in almost 4 months, I'm going to have a day at the races.
Oh, just like the Marx Brothers.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. And I reckon with Les's knowledge of horse racing, it'd be about as funny as well.
I suppose when it comes to his turn, he wants to do something pretty tame, like embroidery or cooking.
Yeah, you would have thought that, wouldn't you? But no, he wants to go to gymnastics.
You're joking!
I'm not. Apparently he used to go to gym classes about 5 years ago. He'd like to have another go.
Which are you going to do first, the racing or the gym?
Oh, it was all quite fair. We tossed for it. He won.
Oh, so you're going to do the gymnastics first?
No, the racing.
How come?
Well, you see, the gym classes are on Monday evenings, but tomorrow being Saturday, there's a race meeting at Kempton.
Wasn't much point in tossing, really, was there?
You're on, no fool. Still, it kept Les happy, and flicking that coin gave him a bit of exercise. Sort of loosened him up for the gymnastics.
Oh, that's very good.
Ron, yeah. Ron, control yourself. It wasn't all that funny.
Oh.
Anyway, come this time tomorrow, I shall be happily enjoying the sport of kings.
There you are, love. Two teas.
Oh, thanks to me. Come on, Jack. Look, I've got a nice cup of tea for you.
What? Oh, thanks.
Oh, for goodness sake, cheer up. You can't always expect to win.
I know that, but honestly, 5 races so far, not even a sniff. Blimey, this afternoon I've been giving money to the bookies fast and the government's giving it to British Leyland.
Oh, well, I suppose that's the way it goes.
It's not an ideal choice of phrase, Leslie. Oh, I don't know what's the matter with me. I've lost all my judgment.
Well, I like the look of that horse you fancied in the 3rd race. You know, that black one with the white patch on its nose.
You mean the one you said reminded you of Black Beauty?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, well, he didn't do very well, did he? 6th in a 7-horse race.
No. Come to think of it, it wasn't Black Beauty it reminded me of. It was the horse that the Rag and Bone Man uses.
Yeah, well, judging by the result of the race, I reckon it must have been one and the same.
Well, you just had a bit of bad luck, that's all. I mean, take this last race we watched. I mean, how could you tell that the wind was going to blow your horse over?
It didn't get blown over. It fell at one of the fences.
Oh, nah, honest, Jack, it fell over. Just as it was approaching the first fence. Hadn't even started to jump.
Yeah, well, it was nervous, wasn't it? It was just sweating it up.
Oh, you weren't doing so badly yourself.
All right. That horse had great form. Should have done it on its head.
It almost did. Certainly couldn't manage it on its feet, could it?
Yeah, it's all right for you laughing. I mean, you haven't had one bet so far.
Oh, no. Well, I don't have your inside knowledge, do I? When I have a bet, it has to be just a hunch.
Yeah, well, that's a mug's game, mate. It's form that counts. That is why I put a tenner on Blazeway in the last race.
£10? My word, you must be confident.
Oh, I am, mate. It's won over the same distance at this course 3 times in exactly the same conditions. Soft going. It can't fail.
Have you put it on with the same bookie as you use the rest of the afternoon?
Yeah, that's right. Honest, Sid.
Well, you don't look too honest to me.
No, oh, rubbish. He's a lovely fella. Heart of gold. Used to be a used car salesman. No, I've had lots of bets with him over the years. We're like old mates, Sid and I.
He didn't seem to remember you very well when you first spotted him this afternoon. He called you Reg.
Yeah, well, he's a bit absent-minded, that's all.
The runners and riders for the last race of the afternoon, the 6-furlong Wallop Handicap, have now arrived at the start.
Right, come on, Les. Let's get down to the rails. I don't want to miss a moment of this one. This is where I get back all my losses.
How can you be so sure?
Blimey, don't be daft, mate. I mean, there's only 3 horses running. The one I've done, Blazeway, he's the favourite. Martello, he's been in 4 other races with mine. He's never caught him yet. I can't lose.
What about the 3rd one?
What, Bouncing Baby or whatever he's called? 25-1, don't make me laugh. Compared to the other two, he's like a donkey on Blackball Beach.
Oh, do you think so?
And they're under starter's orders.
Right, this is it.
And they're off.
Come on, boy. Away you go.
And it's a good start. The first to show is Martello, about 2 lengths ahead of Blazeway.
Yeah, well, Blazeway's saving himself, you see. He can take it any time he wants.
And some 8 lengths behind, very slow into his stride, Bouncing Baby is bringing up the rear.
He looks as if he's about to bring up his lunch. I mean, look at him.
He looks okay to me. Anyway, you can never tell.
Oh, I can, mate, I can.
And just over 2 furlongs to go, Martello is being pressed by Blazeway, who's going into the lead.
Come on, Blazeway, what did I tell you, Les?
And as they come up the straight, it's Blazeway ahead of... Oh, dear, Blazeway seems to be having trouble.
Having trouble? What's he talking about?
There seems to be some problem with his saddle slipping. Yes, I'm afraid Blazeway's jockey's going to be unseated. Yes, there he goes. Oh, dear, what a tragedy.
Look at that jockey sitting there on the grass. What does he think he's doing?
I think he's crying.
That lot of good that is to me.
But what do you expect him to do? Run out of your horse and strap his saddle back on?
And with 100 yards to go, it's Martello clear. But wait a minute, Bouncing Baby's coming up fast on the outside. It's neck and neck, Martello and Bouncing Baby, these two together. 20 yards to go, and Bouncing Baby is pulled ahead to win by a clear length from Martello in second place, with Blaze Away, Riderless, and a furlong in rear.
I don't believe it. Tell me I'm dreaming. What happened?
His saddle slipped.
I know that. Think I'm an idiot. That is 48 quid I've lost this afternoon.
Well, there's one consolation. I don't think it would have done you much good even if you had one.
What are you talking about?
Well, you see that group of people over there?
What about them?
They're looking for your bookie, Honest Sid. He's scarpered.
Oh, no. Oh, come on, let's go home.
In a minute. Just got to pop over and see Alf Slater.
Who's he?
Alf? He's my bookie.
Your bookie?
Yes. Before we had our cup of tea, when you were having a... How's your father? I decided I couldn't come to my first race meeting without having a bet, so I asked Alf Slater. Nice chap. What he suggested. Ever so helpful he was.
In what way?
Well, I told him I didn't know anything about racing, so he gave me a tip. Anyway, seems to have paid off.
Leslie, you are not telling me that you put your money on Bouncing Baby.
In a way... He suggested I did a thing called a forecast. Bouncing Baby to win with Martello second. He was ever so generous. He said he'd give me 100 to 1 against it happening.
How much did you put on?
£2.
You just won 200 nicker.
Yeah, I suppose I have.
Wade in.
Come on, let's pick up my winnings. Then, I tell you what.
Yeah, what?
I'll buy you another cup of tea.
Thank you very much.
Class down the corridor on the right.
Oh, thank you very much. I brought my own silks.
excuse me, miss. My brother and I are booked in for the gym class. Can you tell us where we should go?
Is your name Burrows?
Yes, that's right, love. Jack and Leslie.
Well, I'm very sorry, but after you telephoned on Friday, the clerk suddenly realised that the gym class is in fact oversubscribed. I'm afraid we can't accept any new members after all.
Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear, what a pity. Well, Liz, we'll just have to leave it. Come on.
Just a minute. You're not getting out of it that easily. Miss, are there any vacancies in anything else, miss?
Well,
what about the health and beauty class?
That's all ladies.
Yes, I know.
Don't be silly, Jack. Is there anything else, miss?
Well, there is our overflow first aid class. It's a sort of splinter group.
Sounds more like part of the carpentry class.
First aid? Well, that's always useful.
Yeah, especially with you and me having to live together for the next 3 years. Does it cover black eyes, miss?
And how to look after someone in a drunken stupor?
I understand it is pretty comprehensive.
Oh, good. Well, I think we'll do that.
All right, I'll book you in. You'll find the classroom down the passage, just beyond the rug making.
Thank you, miss. Come on, Jack.
I'd still rather do health and beauty.
Excuse me. Where will I find the fencing classes?
Top of the stairs, madam. Next door to surgery.
Oh, thank you.
Here, look, Les. It's a bit empty, isn't it? There's only one other bloke here.
Well, she did say it was the overflow class.
Here, wait a minute. I've just realised who that fellow is. It's old Brown, our solicitor.
What's he doing here?
Look out, he's seen us.
Oh, hello there. Well, now then, I know you two, don't I?
Yes, Mr. Brown, it's Jack and Leslie.
No, don't tell me. I never forget a face. Now, let's see. Yes, it's... wait a minute. I've got it. Warren. That's the name.
Actually, it's Burrows.
Yes, well, I knew it was something to do with...
Well, what are you doing here?
Well, now, I'm here, do you see, for the shortwave radio class.
Shortwave radio?
Yes, that's it, yes. Always been very interested, you know, ever since I was a little lad.
But isn't this the first aid classes?
Yes, the first of 8 classes on the elementary stuff. And then it gets a little bit more complicated. It's a funny thing, you know, I expected there to be more than 3 of us.
Mr. Brown, I think...
Good evening, gentlemen. I'm your instructress. Miss Humphrey.
Oh, bless you, madam.
Now, I know there aren't many of us, but we have a lot to pack in, so I propose to get down to it straight away.
I do hope she's talking about first aid.
During the next few weeks, we shall be covering everything from fractured joints to the importance of keeping the airway clear after an accident.
Ah, most important, that, yes. There's always some damn fool trying to get through to Tokyo.
Yes, well, now, for instance, if you had to deal with a fractured joint, what would you use? Any ideas?
Well, personally, I find insulating tape or solder doesn't.
I beg your pardon.
Excuse me. I think Mr. Brown is a bit confused.
Yes, he's on a different wavelength than the rest of us.
Well, of course I am, my dear fellow. I mean, we're all different, aren't we? I'm on 36 megahertz.
He thinks this is a shortwave radio class.
Oh, I see now where the confusion's crept in.
I wish I did.
Well, I'm afraid, Mr. Brown, you were put into this first aid class because you were the only applicant for shortwave radio.
Oh, dear. What a shame. Yes. Well, never mind. I expect I'll find first aid most interesting.
Yeah. Especially when we get to mouth-to-mouth resuscitation with a smashing young blonde, eh?
Oh, my word. Do we do that, don't
I? Yes, we do. But only with an inflatable doll.
Yeah, it's sent to you in a plain brown envelope.
Behave yourself and pay attention to Miss Humphrey.
Thank you, young man.
Not at all.
Now, I propose to start this evening by talking about bandages. Now, what do you think the main purpose of a bandage is?
To stop the blood getting on the carpet.
Not exactly. Anyway, we call it plasma.
Oh, well, it stops the blood getting on the plasma.
What a pity there isn't a shortwave radio class.
Thank you. Now, the main purpose of the bandage or dressing is to protect the clot.
Oh, that's not very... That's not very nice, is it? I mean, you know, some poor wretched fellow bleeding to death and you're calling him names, no?
The other purposes are to lessen infection and prevent further injuries.
Such as falling off the stretcher.
No. To be efficient, the dressing used should be porous. Otherwise, sweat cannot evaporate through it. This, of course, means the skin becomes moist and the dressing sodden, so providing a culture medium for bacteria.
Oh, to put it another way, yogurt.
Jack, you promised to behave yourself.
Yes, well, that was when we were going to do gymnastics.
If I may be allowed to continue.
Oh, yes, of course.
Thank you. Very on. Now, let us look at a hypothetical accident.
Oh, yes, yes.
Imagine it is 11 o'clock on a Saturday night and that you, Mr...
Burroughs, Jack Burroughs.
That you, Mr. Burroughs, are passing by a public house.
Him passing by a public house.
Never. Being thrown out of it, yes.
All right, miss. All right. That is enough. Carry on, Miss Humphrey.
Thank you. Now, lying on the pavement is someone who is obviously not enjoying the best of health. Now, what do you do?
Is it a man or a woman?
But surely the sex of the person is unimportant.
To you, possibly. But to those of us who eat red meat, it is extremely important.
Please, gentlemen. Now, shall we try and make this incident a little more realistic? I'd like one of you to lie on the floor, pretending to be the patient.
Down you go, Jack.
Why me?
Oh, come on, Mr. Burroughs, be a sport.
Oh, all right. There we are.
That's it. Enthusiasm is everything on these occasions. Now, the next thing is, what's wrong with him?
How long have we got?
Don't you start less as I leave.
You can't do that, Mr. Burroughs. You're a physical wreck, a broken man, a tragic heap.
It's look, true. What is the point of my acting the part when my brother's already got the necessary qualifications?
Now, can we get back to our make-believe patient, please?
Well, what are we saying has happened to my brother? Has he had an accident?
He is the victim of a hit-and-run driver.
Oh, charming.
But at this stage, you don't know that. As far as you can see, he's just lying there.
Sunbathing.
Mr. Brown, please. Now, remember, he's outside a public house. What's the first thing you do?
Check that it's still going to be open when you've dealt with a patient.
Quiet, Jack. You're supposed to be unconscious. I know, Miss Humphrey. Check if the patient smells of alcohol.
Well done. And supposing he does?
Stop smoking immediately.
Now, the next thing to do is to loosen all tight clothing.
Oh, right you are. Ah, yeah.
What are you doing, Mr. Brown?
Just taking this sweater off. It's killing me.
Look, I think we'll move on.
Well, and leave the poor chap lying there. Good gracious, I mean.
Actually, Mr. Burrows, you do look rather comfortable down there. Perhaps you could add to the realism by twisting yourself about a bit.
Certainly. What would you prefer? My left leg over my right shoulder or one of my big toes up my left nostril?
You know what Miss Humphrey means, Jack.
Oh, all right, all right. Is that any better?
Oh, yes, thank you. That's much better. Right, now, assuming we've established that our friend here isn't merely suffering from an excess of alcohol...
At least on this occasion.
And also assuming there is no blood in evidence, what is the most obvious conclusion we can come to?
He's dead.
Mr. Brown, please.
The answer, gentlemen, is that he has broken something.
I hope it's nothing important.
Let us assume that he's been hit by a bus.
Single or double-decker?
Mr. Brown, it is totally immaterial whether he's been hit by a coach, a green line, or a pay-as-you-enter. The point is, he has a broken leg.
Oh.
Now, let us assume that the patient starts to come round.
Oh, where am I? Oh!
Now, it is important at this stage to reassure the patient. Put him at his ease.
Ho, ho! What happened?
You've been hit by a bus.
I think you're supposed to put it to him rather more gently.
Yes, indeed, Mr. Burrows, you're quite right. Try it again, Mr. Brown.
Oh, what has happened?
Ah, well, now, do you see, my friend, this bus came along... And it rather sort of nudged you very slightly, do you see? And then you tripped over.
Oh. Well, I suppose that's better.
Yes.
Now, for the moment, let us assume that this accident occurs somewhere where the phones are out of order.
Oh, we're outside a post office.
And that there are no friendly faces about.
Well, it's a British Rail information desk.
We must try using traction.
Oh, I was wrong. We're on a farm.
Now, Mr. Burrows, if you could twist your left leg sideways a little to give the impression of it looking immobilized.
How do you mean?
Well, roll it outwards. Let the foot dangle of its own free will, and then make the whole leg look shorter than the other one.
Oh, you don't want much, do you? Right, how's that?
Looks all right to me.
That's excellent, Mr. Burrows. Now, Mr. Brown, perhaps you would like to try this first.
Right ho, Miss Humphrey. Yes, now whatever you say, madam.
Kneel down on the floor,
and
face Mr. Burrows' injured leg.
Hey, what's he going to do?
Don't worry, Mr. Burrows. I shall be here supervising.
Yes, there'll be no need to shout. There's a Humphrey about.
The object of the exercise is to use traction to gradually remove any deformity and place the injured limb in as natural a position as possible.
Yes.
Right. Now, Mr. Burrows, could you kneel at the other end and support your brother's head?
Certainly. How's that?
Oh, very good. In fact, that's an almost perfect position. One might almost think that you spend your life doing this sort of thing.
Oh, thank you.
Excuse me, madam, I have a request to make.
Certainly, Mr. Burrows.
Will you kindly ask my brother to remove his finger from my left ear hole?
Now, Mr. Brown, on the word go, you take the instep of the injured leg in the palm of your left hand.
Left hand, yes.
And the heel in your right hand.
In the right hand, yes.
You then apply gradual pressure on the foot until both feet are side by side. Understand?
Yes. Oh, yes, I've got that, yes.
Jolly good.
Right,
go. Go! Mr. Brown, it's his left leg we're pretending is broken, not his right.
Well, I thought all I had to do was make the legs look the same length. Well, I mean, they do now, don't they?
Yes, but you pushed my right one up instead of pulling my left one down.
Well, it's the same difference, isn't
yes, it? Yes, but it was his left leg we're pretending he's broken.
Oh. Well, now, look, let's take a rest. Up you get, Mr. Burrows.
Yes, thank goodness, all right. Ah!
Oh, stop mucking about, Jack. come on. We can get some coffee upstairs.
I can't get upstairs. I can't even get off the floor.
What's the matter, Mr. Barrett?
It's me right leg. I can't move it.
Oh, dear. Pull your trouser leg up a moment.
Hey? Oh, there you are.
Does look a bit strange.
Yes, it's starting to swell up,
sure,
isn't it?
It's going blue.
I think I'd better call the instructor.
Wait a minute. You're the instructor, aren't you?
Not really, no. No, Mrs. Baxter is in charge. She's with the main class.
Well, who are you then?
Well, nobody official, really. I was just asked to take you through the basics. Actually, I'm in my first week of training to be a vet. I won't be a moment.
Leslie?
Yes, Jack, what is it?
Look, if ever I suggest to you again I'm not happy sitting at home with you in the evening, don't forget, all you have to do is one thing.
What's that?
Just remind me of all the money I lost at the races and the evening I spent with you learning first aid.
Mrs. Baxter has called an ambulance. It should be here in about 10 minutes.
10 minutes of it, agony!
Look, I know, just to take your mind off it. Now, are you any good at crosswords?
Go, oh, not that again. That's how it all started. Get out.
In this week's Share and Share Alike, written by Harold Snowd and Michael Knowles, you heard Michael Robbins as Jack Burrows, Hugh Paddock, Leslie, Dennis Bond, Ron, Margot Boyd, first aid instructor, Rosalind Slater, receptionist, with guest appearance by Derek Giler as Mr. Brown. Racing commentary was by Peter O'Sullivan. The show was produced by John Dias.